from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw on this Total Request Thursday. Send in your favorite songs to the text line. Quick Draw will play them all the way up until 2 o'clock on The Fan. We're joined now by Tony Pente from OrielsHangout.com. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. Orioles, they get to split with the Nationals. I've been saying that I feel like the Orioles haven't taken advantage of some of these inferior teams on their schedule, and I don't know if it'll come back to bite them when we look back at it at the end of 162, but right now the Yankees have a half-game lead, and they've got more of a favorable schedule coming up here, at least in the near future, than the Orioles. How important is it going to be for them to start stringing together some wins here?
Well, I think the team as a whole just needs to get on a run, and they haven't been on one in a while. You know, when you look at it, you know, they've really, I think the injuries are starting to kind of pile up and beat them down a little bit, especially from the, you know, from the pitching side. I mean, even from the offensive side, losing Jordan Westberg was not, you know, it's not good for the team either. So, you know, it's just a matter right now, you know, when it comes to getting beat by, you know, I guess we say lesser teams. You know, there's still major league teams too, and even the best team's going to lose, you know, 62 games a year. So, I mean, I don't get too upset. I mean, you'd like to see them beat, obviously, teams that you think they should beat, but they also have had, you know, series where they've swept good teams. So, you know, it's just it's a tough thing, but it comes down to it is that the team just needs to kind of get itself on a roll and just start to get back to where they were, and they haven't really been like that since late June. So, hopefully, they're going to start, you know, getting together, and we saw the Rangers last year struggle for a while, and then they got hot just at the right time and went right through. So you never know, maybe the Orioles will do the same thing.
Hey, Tony, what are you seeing of Mayo and Holiday since they've been back?
Well, Holiday definitely has made, you know, some really good adjustments, and the fact is that he is just seeing the ball really, really well right now. He's really covering that high fastball, something he wasn't able to do when he first came up. You know, they talked a little bit about him getting the leg kicked down a little bit earlier and allowing him to get himself into that position to be able to catch up that heat. And once you can start catching up that heat, you then don't have to so much. You can start, you know, staying off some of those off-speed pitches that he wasn't able to the first time up. So he's just seeing the ball really well right now and having some really good at-bats. And I tell you, when he hits it, he's just, you know, you're seeing the EVs just consistently over 100 miles an hour. So he really is squaring the ball up right now. You know, Mayo is just, you know, one of those situations, right, where we knew he kind of had a hole with sliders and breaking balls. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago before he even came up. And, you know, they've exploited that and they've gone after it. And then he starts getting into his head a little bit, and then they're able to throw, you know, pretty hittable fastballs that he's fouling off and not getting to, because I think he's just in his head right now. So he looks a little bit like Holiday was the first time up, where just it kind of snowballs on him. Hopefully the little broken bat single he got last night will be helpful to him. And, you know, he did get a nice walk later in the game that was helpful. So, I mean, he's seeing the ball, okay. It's just that right now, I think some of the approach, he's very pull heavy. I've seen him taking pitches that were the outside that in the minors he would have taken out the right center or right field, and we're seeing him try to pull everything right now. So I think he just needs to have that kind of approach to trying to go in the opposite way and then let that ball travel, and I think he'll be just fine because he's definitely an impact bat once he gets going.
We saw Gunnar go yard last night. It's been a while since we've seen that happen. His power numbers haven't been the way that they were in the first half of the season. Do you think last night will kind of get him back on the right track?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we want to hope so, right? I mean, he's had some really good at-bats. He's hit the ball hard. You know, that's the one thing. He hasn't hit a lot of home runs, but he's getting on base. You know, and that's something that he's really done a good job with this year. What I really liked the last couple, at least this week, is we start seeing him taking base hits the opposite way. And I think that's something that you need to start doing. When they start making adjustments to you, you have to start being willing to go the other way and take the singles for a while and start damaging the ball that way. And the thing about Gunnar is with his power, he's able to drive the ball into the opposite gap. So, you know, he's learned that you don't have to pull everything. You don't have to try to hit home runs every time, and that power's going to be there. We've seen it, and that's the thing. You know, I'm not too worried that the home runs weren't there because he was still getting on base. He still was having good at bats, and we're not seeing him in, you know, a prolonged situation, kind of like we saw with Adley. But he wasn't in a prolonged situation where he wasn't getting on base, so he's going to be just fine.
Hey, Tony, is there anybody really crushing it down in minors?
Well, I mean, right now, when you look down the minor league system, the hitting has not been really that great. I mean, when probably the guy that jumps out at you is going to be, of course, Samuel Basayo, who is starting to get hot down in Bowie, and that's something good to see. You know, he's very young. He just turned 20 years old a couple of days ago. Fact is that he's one of the best players probably in Double A at 20 years old. This is another impact bat that's coming up. He's really starting to cover the ball well. He, too, is a guy that we start seeing hitting some oppo home runs. He's done that in the past, too. But in Double A, you know, the pitching's better, obviously, and they made some adjustments to him, and they were getting in on his hands and getting breaking balls down on him and getting him to chase and doing a couple things, and now you've seen him make that adjustment. That, you know, it was only kind of a matter of time, and now he's made that. So he's probably that guy right now that's really covering the ball well down there. And I know some of the new draft picks showed up in Delmarva this week, and they're just kind of getting their feet under him right now and doing their thing. But, yeah, he's probably the guy that stands out to us right now.
We're talking to Tony Pente from Orioles Hangout. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Tony, Anthony Santander, he's been one of the hotter players in the American League since the All-Star break, having a monster year. Right now, in a contract year, it's not very often over the last few years we've been talking about what Orioles player can get an extension, but he's one of them. Where are you on what you think the Orioles should do with Santander after this year?
Yeah, it's a really tough situation because obviously he's having an amazing year, right? You know, obviously he's been a guy that's been carrying this team offensively for quite a while with the home runs and things like that, but there's a couple of things you have to be concerned about when you're Elias. One, he turns 30 years old next year. Two, he's slow. Defensively, he'll make some good plays, but he really is not covering a lot of ground out there. You know, a lot of places you see him making at the very last second, you know, guy with a little bit more speed probably would have made that play a lot easier. It doesn't mean he's not doing okay out defensively in right field, but, you know, again, he's a slow guy turning 30, and those guys worry me. You know, there's a miss in his bat. He's not a high walk guy. So traditionally, those are guys you'd be a little bit more concerned about. Now, the switch hitting helps. The fact that he hits both sides well is definitely something that helps him as well. So they're in a situation where they're going to have to figure out what the value of, if you can get him for 3 years and at something reasonable, do you pull that trigger? Potentially. But you also have Heston Kjerstad that you hope is your next right fielder. The other thought is that Kobe Mayo could be a guy that this offseason you tell him, hey, I need you to go out in the outfield and let's go see next year if he's a right fielder. So there's a couple things here that's in play. If they think Mayo can make that conversion or if they think Kjerstad's their guy, it's going to be tough to give a lot of money to Anthony Santander when realistically that money is going to have to be used on hopefully re-signing Burns or another top pitcher.
Now, Tony, how important do you think is this four-game Red Sox series?
Well, it's big in the sense of any series right now is kind of big when we look at this, right? The Red Sox have been playing really well. They've been quietly sneaking up on the Orioles and the Yankees as the Orioles been good since the end of June. So they've been playing well. I still don't think that team's that good overall. I still think the Orioles have a better team. You obviously, you know, when you have a big four-game series like that at home, you want to be able to, you know, really kind of take it to them. You want to get at least three out of four. You know, if you get a split, okay. But you definitely don't want to make sure that it's not a situation where they get three or four out of you or worse, right? So, yeah, it's big in the sense of, you know, we want to see them play well, especially against a team that's been playing well. Hopefully they'll come out on top.
Tony, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time. Let the people know how they can follow you and find your work.
Yeah, absolutely. You can come to OrielsHangout.com. It takes you directly to our forums. We have forums on the major leagues, the minor leagues, and on draft and everything else you can imagine in there. And we have a lot of information on prospect power rankings in the minor forums. And you can follow all the comments from all the posters as well as myself as we talk about everything about Orioles.
Tony, really appreciate you. We'll talk again down the line.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around, see what went on in the American League East last night. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw. As well, we're getting you the whip around. That audio you just heard courtesy of Yes Network. Yankees win 10-2. You heard that Aaron Judge home run Aaron Judge becomes the fastest player to reach 300 home runs. That one went 361 feet. It was a three-run shot to give the Yankees a 9-2 lead over the White Sox. Juan Soto, he got the game started with a home run in the first inning as well. That duo remains hot as the Yankees improved to 72-50 on the year. The White Sox are just flat out terrible, so no surprise there. It's more so a surprise whenever they do win a game, and that wasn't the case last night despite the White Sox taking the first game of that three-game set. Let's go out to Boston where the Red Sox and the Rangers had a nail-biter.
All right, he goes to work on Jonah Heim, and that ball's blasted deep out to right, and it is gone! Just got it into the bullpen! And on the first pitch of the 10th inning, the Rangers had their largest lead of the night.
That one courtesy of Bally Sports. The Rangers, they defeat the Red Sox 9-7 in extra innings. This one finished in the 10th inning, that Jonah Heim home run you heard. That was a two-run shot that gave them the 9-7 lead. It's like the Red Sox just did not want to win this game. At one point, they were up 7-4 in the eighth inning and ended up blowing it with a three-run shot by Langford in the ninth inning for the Reds for the Rangers. So, yeah, that one went down the tube. That's one that the Red Sox, I'm sure, are going to be losing some sleep over. With them coming into Baltimore now for the next 4 days.
Yeah, and they had a lead at three different times in that game and then and lost it at the end. Yeah, that would be a tough one, you know, get on the plane and come down here to get ready for the series. If you win that type of game, you know, you'd have won three in a row and then you got a little mold going.
Yeah, that wasn't the case for them. Some of the other scores around Major League Baseball yesterday, the Royals, they defeated the Twins 4-1. Diamondbacks 11-4 over the Rockies. Padres 8-2 over the Pirates. They stay hot. They jumped on the Pirates pretty early in that game as well. The Guardians 6-1 over the Cubs. Phillies 9-5 defeating the Marlins. Tigers narrowly escaped the Mariners 3-2 in the 10th inning. Reds 9-2 over the Cardinals. Astros 2-1 over the Rays in extra innings. The Mets blow out the A's 9-1. Brewers, they come back and beat the Dodgers 5-4. Blue Jays blow out the Angels 9-2. And the Braves, they blew out the Giants 13-2 out in San Francisco yesterday. Also, some NFL news. Matt Judon, former Raven, he's traded to the Atlanta Falcons. He's been one of those guys that's been holding out as well in camp. I mean, there was video a couple of weeks ago of Gerard Mayo, the new head coach in New England, having to go up to Matt Judon while he's on the side at practice. And it didn't look like a pleasant conversation. You see Matt Judon kind of get up and he doesn't look happy. He kind of walks off the field. It definitely lets you know that Bill Belichick isn't around anymore.
Yeah, and the thing, they got a third round pick, which what they were looking for. What's going to be interesting now is to see what they pay him and how long.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what's, because he's 32
and he's looking for a new deal. That's the whole hold up with him in New England.
But
right,
I mean,
now
I don't want to pay him. You know, he was hurt last year, so I don't know. You know how long you pay him, or how, that was the problem the Patriots had. Hey, you know, by the time he gets good, you know, he'll be gone by the time we get good.
Another pass rusher signed as well earlier today. Carl Lawson, the former New York Jet, goes out to Dallas to join the Cowboys. Cowboys spending money elsewhere, not on CeeDee Lamb or Dak Prescott, but they do bring in a veteran pass rusher.
Yeah, and a lot of veteran pass rushers have been signed so far this year by a lot of different teams, and a lot of those guys have been working out. So there's not a lot left, Ravens.
No, it's not. And I mean, I'm curious to see what the Ravens decide to do with this pass rush situation. I don't know. Maybe they're really buying into Owe right now. Ajabo seems to be stacking practices here this week. You still got Madubuike in the middle. They're hoping Travis Jones takes a leap. Maybe they feel like they're okay with what they have. I'm not, but maybe DaCosta and Harbs are.
Yeah. We'll see. Or maybe they feel like what they've got is better than what's out there. That's the thing. There's not a lot of stuff out there right now.
No, it's not a lot out there. And you kind of, you're almost scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point when it comes to pass rushers. I mean, at this point, it feels like Ngakoue isn't on their radar at all.
No.
I don't know who else is left out.
He's not on a lot of people's radar.
He's still available.
He's not getting any workouts.
Yeah, he's still available. So we'll see what happens. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Mike Bordick, co-host of Baltimore Baseball Tonight, Orioles Hall of Famer. Talk to him about the Orioles right now. How big of a series is this against the Red Sox? Will this team find some consistency? We'll ask him next here on The Fan. Orioles Hall of Famer, my guy, Mike Bordick. Mike, what's going on?
Cornell, how are you today, man?
Not bad. Not bad at all, Mike. Orioles get back in the win column last night. Is there any scenario you can see of this team finding a way to get back to playing good, consistent baseball with their rotation being the way it is?
Oh, yeah, definitely there's a possibility because I think everybody that's in the rotation has shown, you know, flashes of greatness. And I think Dean Kramer's start last night was a great example of that. You know, Dean's been inconsistent, but he's had some good starts this year. And I think that last night's game was as good as he's pitched. I mean, it seemed like he had great command of all of his pitches. That split finger was used very well and used frequently. Had good velocity on his fastball. And so you hope, you know, you hope Kramer can find some consistency here down the stretch because that would be huge in helping stabilize the rotation. If you had three guys, because I think right now we really trust Corbin Burns, and we'll trust him more when he takes home the hardware with the Cy Young. And, of course, Eflin's been Mr. Consistent. What a great pro he is. You know what you're getting, it seems like, every time. And we've been hoping that somebody could step up in the wake of all these injuries that we've had in the rotation. And, you know, I think we've leaned on Dean Kramer before for moments like this. We're leaning on him again. And so a good start there. And like I said, hopefully he can finish strong, but Rogers has got to kind of find his way. You know, I know this is all a big transition for him and the Orioles are looking at him as like a long-term thing, but man, if you can get just a little better, you know, give your offense a chance, minimize those early runs, especially those crooked numbers early in ball games that can kind of get an offense down. And I think Suarez is, you know, he's been really solid. And to be honest with you, I think he's been like one of the biggest nuggets that they've been able to land this year as far as unexpected success. You know, he's been really consistent. So he's got to be able to keep it up too. And then, I mean, my gosh, I know goes on and on, but the bullpen's got to find some stability too. And I think a couple guys have started to step up a little bit. And they're going to have to, you know, a couple more guys are going to have to. They really are. There's just going to be this constant inconsistency with these games. You know, they'll score runs, but they're going to give up a lot too if this pitching can't stabilize a little bit.
Hey, Bordy, you know what last night reminded me of? It kind of reminded me of, you know, a lot of games that have been happening, you know, like after the Orioles lose a game or two games, then we get one game like that and say, oh, they're back on track. Then they go back and lose a couple games. I mean, it just seems like, oh, yep, that they're back. And then, you know, Gunnar hit a home run, they're back. And then it falls back into, you know, the same pattern.
Yeah. A little bit of a rough rut here right now for this team. And, you know, in large part, like you said, due to the injuries, he expected it to kind of catch up with his team at some time. And you know, they've been hurt by the injury bug about as much as any team. I know the Braves. I know the Yankees. A lot of teams have lost a lot of great players. But we're talking, you know, some stud guys in the rotation, Colom in the back end that was just, you know, huge stabilizer back there. So, you know, until somebody kind of steps up a little bit and guys just, you know, you're not asking for everybody to, you know, be great all at once, but, you know, sometimes there's going to have to be surprise guys to step up. I think they're going to have to, as a team, continue to execute offensively, situationally, and just, it's just a constant reminder every day. This team won't win if they can't stay consistent defensively, and I know they've had a couple rough patches, and so they're going to have to stabilize that as well. But they've got great talent. They've got great young talent, and I think that's what's going to kind of keep them going and kind of keep them fighting along, man, because that youthful ambition and with the blinders on that they have, man, they can fight through a lot of rough storms.
We're talking to Mike Bordick. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Mike, we saw Kobe Mayo get his first hit last night. I thought he played well defensively also. Going back to when you got your first major league hit, just what type of feeling does that do for you once you get that monkey off your back?
Man, it's like the greatest thing in the world. It's different for everybody. I wasn't even supposed to be in the big leagues, for crying out loud, and I got an opportunity, and I think Tony La Russa made me feel a little bit better. He said, listen, I'm going to use you offensively to try to, get a bunt down, maybe situational stuff, hit and run. He goes, but all I care about, and this was my first year, I was up for a couple months in 1990. He said, I just need you to catch the ball, and that's it. And that's really the only reason I got an opportunity. I was trusted with my glove. And then that led on to, just more consistent play and a chance for my offense to kind of pick up. I was 1-for-14 in 1990. And I remember I got my hit at Yankee Stadium, and I thought it was pretty cool. And the side story is, I'm going to have to tell you, I can't tell you over the radio. Back then different things were going on. But it was awesome to get my first major league hit. And I enjoyed that. And it was the start of – I had a pretty good career against the Yankees, too, which always made me feel pretty good.
Of course.
Hey, Bordy, going down the stretch here where, things are really tight, games back and forth, you're up a game, down a game, all the way till the final. How important is the manager during that stretch and the decisions that he's making?
Oh, yeah. I think Brandon Hyde, he's taken some criticism this year. I think there's a wave of people that have kind of been on him nonstop, even if he makes what I think are correct moves. I think managers nowadays, it's really, I think most of it is about do your players respect you? Will they run through a wall for you? And I feel like he's got that. I think he's got great respect in his clubhouse. Now, I think all managers now, they go a little bit overboard with analytics. I don't think they trust their instincts as much. I think they go solely by numbers. Well, I'm not going to say solely, but a high percentage of the time just by the analytics that are presented to them, every game and really every situation. And I'm not knocking analytics, but there are times where I think the best managers are the ones that, have been, through all the ups and downs and have a great feel for, I guess, the heart and soul of their team, the players, what they're going through, the senses that they have, and understand, oh, yeah, he's been swinging the bat great. This is a great opportunity for him to stay in here. And I know just recently, he was criticized for pinch hitting for a couple hot young lefties in Couser and Jackson Holliday. Listen, I think Brandon's done well. It's hard to manage a bullpen when you've got, limited number of bullets out there. So I think he's trying to fight through that. When your team is riddled with injuries, you're just trying to manage the best you can and put guys in the most successful spot you feel like, they're going to be in. So you got to kind of trust Brandon Hyde's decision making, but these decisions are incredibly impactful now, because now every game is really under the microscope. Mm-hmm. This is truly the start of the playoffs now. So every game matters. Everybody's watching the scoreboard. And it's really impactful. And series can kind of change momentum in a big way. Teams can get hot now and all of a sudden pull away or come from out of nowhere. So they got to be on their toes. They got to understand the importance of getting outs when they're there. Don't be in a rush. Just make the plays. And hopefully, like I said, some of these pitchers, because it always comes down to just the pitching, can step up. And a couple guys emerge like, wow, we didn't expect that, but this is great. That's what we hope for, and that's what happens with some of the best teams.
Mike, you mentioned the bullpen earlier as one of the other concerns for this team. They're still trying to figure out roles for all these guys, and it kind of just seems like Brandon Hyde is making these decisions on the fly. We saw Sir Anthony Dominguez get the save last night. Not a lot of trust there with Kimbrel right now. What's kind of your mindset on this closer role? Are you fine with it being by committee, or eventually we need to figure out who the guy is going to be?
Well, I think Brandon Hyde hopes that somebody will emerge. And right now, the guy that stepped up and found consistency is Sir Anthony Dominguez. And it's nothing against the other guys. I think they're all, you know, understand what's happening. And the teams that have success end up getting a couple hot hands in their bullpen. I mean, typically there's a solid back end that guys have relied, our teams have relied on. And right now the Orioles are still kind of searching for that. But if they can just land a couple hot arms, right, and it could still be Kimbrel. Kimbrel could still be the back end guy. But finding ways to instill confidence, I think it was great what Brandon did the other night. Soto gets out of there clean. He's had a couple good outings now, because that's a big arm, man, and that could be really impactful, even though right now I wouldn't even think about putting him in a high leverage position. All right, Kimbrel either. So let them kind of keep working, feel good about their release point, their delivery, better command in those type of situations. And they've both been used to high leverage situations, so getting them back in there won't be a shock to them. Once they do, it's just a matter of finding a consistent delivery and able to work in sequence properly. And both of them, it comes down to command.
Bordy, how big is this four-game series?
I think it's pretty big. I really do, because I personally thought the Red Sox would just disappear and fade into oblivion, like a couple of the teams here on the American League East. But they've fought and they've clawed, and there are a couple guys that are having career years for them. And I would say that they're an overachieving team. Can they still push through the next month and a half? We don't know, but I'll tell you what. Like I said, man, when teams start sensing the postseason and they have a feeling that they might be able to get there, and they're playing teams that are in their way, man, it's just a more competitive brand. It's a more intense kind of brand of baseball. That's why I love this time of year. Because, like I said, these games matter, pitches matter, plays matter. So it's going to be fun to see, man, because I think both teams are feeling it right now. It's a little early, but I think both teams are feeling the importance, of this big series.
Bordy, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this morning. We look forward to hearing you back on Baltimore Baseball tonight. Enjoy the baseball this weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the
yes, sir.
Yep.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the Funhouse, see what you guys are talking about on the text line. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This first texter here says, I'm sure people will be up in arms that Eric DaCosta didn't offer up a third-round pick for Matt Judon, but the key, as you guys said, is the contract that follows. I'll reserve full judgment until we see the terms of that deal with Atlanta.
I totally it's about the money, you know, and Judon's 32. So, I mean, if he wants a new three-year deal or whatever and they're paying him $18, $20 million a year? Well, I can understand. You know that the Ravens called and checked on it. I'll guarantee you that. But it's probably out of their price range.
I mean, and the reality is, they didn't want to pay Matt Judon when he was younger. They're definitely not about to pay him when he's 32 years old.
Well, my question was, what is the interest level? Because I think people were just assuming that, the Ravens would be an ideal fit, but... You know, Vinny, you thought that they did their due diligence. I mean, are we even sure that they wanted him back, or he's a guy that was on their radar for real?
Yeah, I wouldn't be so. Honestly, I'm indifferent. I think football wise, maybe, but I don't know exactly what he was like, you know, to deal with and all that stuff. And it's nothing like a disgruntled player that's looking for money. I don't think that's really what the Ravens want to deal with right now.
Let's see here. A couple on the Orioles. This texter says people need to come around and finally believe or fully believe in Albert Suarez. He's had a sub-4 ERA all season, as real as it gets at this point. I think the fan base and the media sometimes gives traditional starters on the team like Dean Kramer a little more of a leash.
I believe in Suarez. I mean, I don't know exactly what it is that we're believing in, but I believe in him that he's somebody you can depend on when you need him, depending on the role. It doesn't matter. Like, he's shown he could be a starter. He can come out of the bullpen. He can start in an hour notice. Like, he's earned respect from me. I'm not saying that I look at him as an ace, or, you know, in an ideal world, I wouldn't want to have him start a playoff game. No, if it was ideal, but it's not an ideal situation right now for the Orioles. And considering their situation, out of the guys that are available, yes, he is on the short list of pitchers I trust right now.
Well, I think I'm one of the people that's maybe guilty of it, that even when Suarez was pitching at his best this year, you always kind of viewed him, he's the fifth starter. He's the fifth guy in the rotation, and he'll get bumped when they make an addition at the deadline, and that's what happened. And he's had to come back in because of injuries multiple times this year. But like the texter said, I mean, the numbers don't lie. He's been very consistent for what he's been asked to do, and right now, he is the team's third best starter.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no debating that. So, nope. You know, if that's the way it is in the playoffs, we'll see how it goes, but he is their third best. This texter here says, no need to go back to Craig Kimbrell at any point for closing opportunities. Between Cano and Dominguez, they have two better ninth inning options right now. However, the key to their success will be if Craig Kimbrell can at least be a setup caliber guy.
Well, we don't know. That's the thing. I mean, we can't sit here and say just because Cano and Dominguez are pitching well right now that come October, they'll still be just as hot. They've both been inconsistent this year themselves. So, yeah, they're the hot hands right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean that come the end of September, Kimbrel may, you know, he may not be bouncing back at the time. It's just tough to put long-term trust in any of those guys on the back end of the bullpen right now.
And we'll close things out here with a text from Rich that says, Vinny, I hear you talk about the O-lineman, the technique, improper technique, you know, not spreading their feet, wide base, hands, all that sort of thing. It makes you wonder where or when are they even teaching that sort of thing? How hard is it for a professional to learn what should be basics?
I see them teaching it all the time. They teach fundamentals and skills, you know, so you got to be coachable. Players got to be coachable. That's a big part of it. You know, and some guys, I mean, Falele has been the same for three or four. He hasn't changed anything in 3 or 4 years.
And Joe D, of course, one of the best. O-line coaches.
We're not going to blame the coaching.
Right. And it does bring up the point, though. You have a change of offensive line coach right now with George Warhop coming in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, some of it, Vinny's saying, you know, they got to be coachable, and he's right, but they've also got to retain the information, and it's about breaking bad habits. You know, Falele probably doesn't even know his footwork is as bad. I mean, I'm sure they show it to him.
Oh, yeah.
But in the moment, he probably doesn't realize, oh, yeah, my feet are too close together, or, you know, I'm not playing with enough power. He's doing what he's used to doing.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe when you're 380 some pounds, you know, and you get over your weight on one foot. I've never been, you know, 380, but maybe it's hard to control. Mm-hmm. You know, have great body control.
And isn't Falele the one that started football relatively later in his life?
I think so.
So, you know, he wasn't doing that from peewee through high school.
Right. He started real late. He's from Australia, or he's from somewhere else.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they need him right now, though. So we'll see if Falele is able to show himself to be dependable for this Ravens offensive line. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. We'll hear from John Harbaugh, who talked after practice yesterday, had some Orioles players and Brandon Hyde out at practice yesterday. Steve Wilks was there as well. It was a whole get-together, apparently, on the practice field, but we'll hear from the head coach next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.